Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Remember Palestine with me, Lauren Booth. On today's RP, the United States has warned European authorities against supporting the Palestinian bid for enhanced recognition at the UN. The political manoeuvring to stop Palestinian moves towards an eventual statehood are becoming more threatening by the day. Now significant negative consequences are threatened against the Palestinian Authority for its peaceful legal discussions with the UN. My knowledgeable guests, Baroness Jenny Tong and Ali El-Kabani, will give their views on these issues. But first, this report from Hannah Cassis in Ramallah.
According to the Palestinian Prisoner Society, the Israeli Prison Services, in addition to special units of the Israeli police, raided the Shatta prison, located in the north of the occupied 1948 territories.
While the Block 7 prisoners were in the yard at Shatta prison, Israeli forces raided and searched their cells. The prisoners protested the provocative manner of the raid, and the prison service sent 70 members of its special units to suppress the prisoners. Confrontations broke out and several prisoners were injured.
The Prisoner Society concurred that Palestinian prisoners fought back against Israeli forces, some using chairs, which led to numerous injuries amongst the prisoners. Three prisoners were moved to isolation cells, and Section 7 of the prison has been closed off.
Special units of the Israeli so-called border police are used to suppress the Palestinian prisoners. The members of these units are barbaric, well-built and trained in raiding closed areas. They practice terror against Palestinian prisoners during raids. They use nightsticks, electric tasers, and police dogs during attacks on the prisoners. They also use gas canisters and stun grenades that are supposedly prohibited from inside use.
Various Palestinian political factions, as well as Palestinian civil society organizations and the Palestinian Authority, condemned the prison raid, which was described as a barbaric act by the president of the Palestinian Prisoners Society.
It become condemned from the Palestinian people, and we are calling the international community to support us and condemn Israeli attack for the Palestinian people. The Palestinian prisoners inside Israeli jails, they don't get the human rights, they don't get the international law.
According to Ad-Damir Prisoner Support and Human Rights Organization, there are approximately 4,600 Palestinians in Israeli jails, including 194 children and 7 women. Due to the Israeli raid on Shatta prison, the lockdown of Section 7, and the sensitivity of the security situation in the prison, all communication with Palestinian prisoners has been cut. The exact number of injured prisoners is not yet known. For Press TV, Hanna Cassis, Occupied Ramallah.
Well, joining me now is the well-known Palestinian advocate and member of the House of Lords, Baroness Jenny Tong. Jenny, it's lovely to have you on again. Today we're talking specifically about the enhanced status efforts between the Palestinian Authority and the United Nations. Now, a fax or an email has come to light via a British newspaper sent by the US government to various members of the leadership of the EU saying, if you support this bid by the Palestinians for just enhanced recognition, that there will be severe consequences. What do you make of this amount of pressure on the individual EU memberships? Will it work, and why will it work?
I don't know whether it will be work or not, but this is the lobby talking. This is AIPAC in America putting pressure on Obama. Mm. And I think everyone knows there's going to be American elections in 3 weeks' time. And Obama is not going to do anything to jeopardise his chances of re-election. And I don't want him to do anything to jeopardise his chances, because the thought of having Romney as President of the United States is truly terrifying. So I suspect that this is the lobby putting pressure yet again on Obama to try and keep the Palestinians in check and to try and make the European Union realise that they've got to obey America. You know, everyone has to obey America. What I find extraordinary about all of this is that I talk to ordinary people about this and they say, what do you mean Palestine's not recognised by the United Nations? What do you mean? I mean, it's always been there. What Israel is, isn't it? And you say yes. And they say, well, what's the problem? people do not realise that Palestine has never even had observer status at the United Nations. And I think that's very terrible that they don't do that. I cannot understand why America is saying it will damage the peace process if they are recognised as a state. It can't possibly damage the peace process, especially as the Palestinians have said recently, Abbas said recently, they will restart the peace talks straight away.
So let's talk about the UK.
Once recognition.
Let's talk about the UK response then. Successive UK governments, going back to Blair's government in the 90s and after that, have said we support a two-state solution. Absolutely. Surely that means part of the process will Absolutely. Have to be UN recognition. So can you give us a kind of idea where the UK government stands now?
Where the UK government stands now, as far as I understand it, is that the Foreign Secretary and the senior members of the government are waiting to see what the other European countries do.
Right.
It's the same old response, you know, not me first. They cannot spell out to me what possible effect it's going to have on the peace process for Palestine to be recognised, as I said. I assure you, and there's one good thing to say about, really good thing to say about the Liberal Democrats, they're absolutely consistent in their support for the for Palestine to be recognised at the UN. So there is a bit of friction there on this foreign policy issue, and I don't know how it's going to roll out. I really don't.
What about if you stand up in when you stand up and address the House of Lords, or you speak to fellows in your political community, and you say, "Look, we must support in deed as well as verbally the right for this enhanced status with the UN." What's the response you get?
Well, there's huge support now from the Labour Party. I don't know whether the Labour Party have officially said that they are going to support this bid, but certainly there were people like Jack Straw and Peter Hain in a group of people who were photographed saying, "Give Palestine recognition at the UN." We all lined up for a photograph a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
So the Labour Party is looking very hopeful on this, but of course they're in opposition. People say wonderful things when they're in opposition, as we know to our cost. But we don't know how this is going to pan out. The important thing is, I think, to not make too many predictions or not get too excited until that American election is over. Because we really do not know what Obama's true thinking is until he's safely back in the White House.
Fine, we can say that, but to allow your diplomats to send out a message that said it would be extremely counterproductive and there will be significant negative consequences for the Palestinians if they even go ahead with conversations with the UN, and to try and then force other leaders and other diplomats to follow suit, you can't go back on that, how can he?
I think he may find a way, and I hope he will find a way, but I have said to you, this is the election process talking. It's fear of not winning the election that is making him make all these loud roaring noises to keep the Israel lobby happy. And that's what we're really fighting.
OK, Jenny, but the EU's recently got given itself the Nobel Peace Prize and a big, you know, been applauding itself. Ironic, isn't it? Yes.
Yes. And in a couple of weeks, is it, the European Parliament are going to decide whether to upgrade the trade agreement with Israel on a whole lot of pharmaceutical products. We're campaigning very hard against that, writing to all our MEPs about that. And one of the points I made is, how can you accept the Nobel Peace Prize, European Union, when you turn a blind eye to the abuses of human rights and the failure to obey international law by Israel, and yet they are your trading partner. And we depend on them respecting human rights and obeying international law in those treaties.
Let's just take a look at the moment at the fact that the European Union authorities have just banned all Iranian channels from even broadcasting on major satellites across Europe. Can we now see a kind of united agenda at play in Europe. Stop free speech and support AIPAC. Are you reading anything into these two?
I'm very concerned moments? About that. I mean, I'm glad you've raised the question of Iran, because Iran seems to be pointing up to be, you know, the reason. The reason why all these terrible things are happening is because of Iran. What a complete and utter nonsense. When did Iran ever attack anybody? And I do think that it is, again, it's because Israel is forcing from behind. Mm. They're afraid of Iran. They don't know, I don't think they are, but they don't know whether Iran's developing nuclear weapons. And then Israel, who've had nuclear weapons for 25 years, would have to be more careful. Yeah. I mean, it is such a complicated part of the world, and there are such complicated issues. But all the time, we seem to be following that Israel agenda. We did before the Iraq War. You know, we have to keep on obeying.
Thank you so much, Jenny, for that political overview and for coming to join us again. It's time now for our weekly look at the growing international resistance against Israeli apartheid.
The Swedish vessel Estelle continues its voyage to Gaza with a cargo of 41 tons of cement as part of the campaign to help Palestinians repair damages caused by the war with Israel. Their first attempt to break the blockade was in 2011, when they prepared to send the boat Giuliano. However, a sabotage prevented its sail. Now on its route to Gaza, Estelle has stopped at different regions including Stockholm, Alicante and Napoli, where people have supported activists on board in spite of the pressure the countries visited have received from Israel. Their aim is to arrive in Gaza by the end of the month. Activists in Oakland, California, gathered to protest all forms of colonization through history, from the 500 years of the arrival of Christopher Columbus to the current occupation of Afghanistan and Palestine.
We're fighting a nation that its only mission is to completely destroy life and destroy the lives of indigenous people, whether it's in the US or in Mexico or Palestine, Afghanistan. We have to come together to fight this very powerful machinery that's working against us, this imperialist, colonizer, freaking criminal machinery that's working against us.
Members of the Islamic Human Rights Commission and InMinds protested outside the headquarters of the security firm G4S in London.
G4S is deeply implicated in the illegal occupation of the occupied Palestinian territories. The State of Israel uses G4S to carry out functions in the settlements and in Israeli prisons, and it's deeply implicated in the torture of children, Palestinian children.
There is no way that one could justify securing war crimes and war criminals. And this is what the G4 is doing, and we are saying enough is enough.
This is part of a campaign to raise awareness about the daily crimes committed against the Palestinian people by the Israelis and about the companies that are profiting from the illegal occupation.
To look at the apparent sudden bias of Western governments against the proposal for a Palestinian state is political analyst Ali El-Kabani. Salam, Ali.
Alaikum salam.
Let's just look at Obama's Cairo speech 3 years ago and remind ourselves of what he said. He pronounced very emphatically that there would be a Palestinian two-state solution, as he called it, alongside Israel. Have we seen the unraveling of those words?
Most certainly we have seen that. But again, from the beginning, and I thought I said that on air, that it's a lip talk. Because Obama was trying to say that to get the Muslim world on his side, but I knew exactly he is the nice face coming after the ugly face of George W. Bush. But it's the established the United States controlled by AIPAC and the Israeli lobby, which control the foreign policy of the United States, especially when it comes to the Middle East and the Arab-Israeli conflict. So I knew exactly that Barack Obama will not change anything. But on the contrary, I think it's better for the Arabs to have the ugly face of George W. Bush and the likes of Netanyahu because with them, what you see is what you get. But with Barack Obama, he have got this silk gloves before he suffocated the Palestinian and killed them.
So the Palestinian Authority has gone to the UN to ask for enhanced statehood, enhanced status. That's all, just a really a figurative proposal. And the US has sent a very aggressive missive to the EU, who will be voting on this and influencing the UN, and said, don't you dare. What will be the effect of these, they say, significant negative consequences for the PA if they continue to push the UN?
It's actually, you can see the contradiction when Barack Obama say that he believes in the two-state solution, and then he is objecting to a non-member state status.
Yeah.
So the Palestinians are asking for a non-member state. So it is not a full member and all that. But actually, the Baroness was asking rightly why America is contradicting itself. I think they know quite well that if the position of the Palestinian Authority is enhanced, they can go to the international criminal law, and then that will expose the Israeli policies in the settlement and in not letting the people vote, and in the inhumane and illegal siege of Gaza. So they know they will be exposed.
It will have, in other words, it's it sounds like a nice title only, but it would have real consequences
because
under international
law. If they are
law
an unstate member, they can go to the International Criminal Court, and they can have the ugly policy of Israel exposed. And really, Israel is a rogue state. They have no respect whatsoever of the international law or the United Nations resolution. But the thing which the Arabs and Muslims should realize is that the United States of America is helping them and giving them the political coverage and protection. So actually, the position of Israel, we understand, they are colonizing power, occupying Palestinian land, but and they want to keep it. But the Americans, who pretend to be that they are supporting the just solution, are really supporting all the illegal activities and criminalities of the Israeli occupiers.
Okay, so let's look now at the position of the PA at this moment in time. So they've actually made a quite outstanding movement towards the UN enhanced status, with all these repercussions if it comes about. They're being told, if anybody does this, you're going to lose your funding. And the EU really is funding the PA to keep going. What will happen if they pursue it? And do you think they'll pursue this, the Palestinian Authority?
Certainly, as you said, Lorraine, the language that they are warning the European governments. So imagine if they are warning the European governments, and they are their strongest allies, and really states of the first world. Imagine with the tiny Palestinian Authority, which have no authority whatsoever. Mm. Of course, they can suffocate them from any financial aids.
So let's make this straight. If the EU states say, do you know what, because America will pull your funding and force us to pull funding, we're not going to back this, it's better for you. And the Palestinian Authority keeps getting money to be an authority over nothing. That's what's one option. What's another option?
So I really wish for the Arabs and the Palestinians that they cut this financial aid to the authority, so the inhabitants of the West Bank become citizens of the Israeli government, and the Israeli government is responsible to pay the salaries of the police force and all the government establishments, and to give those people equal rights to as any citizen in Israel, or even as a citizen of an occupied land, because it's the responsibility of the occupier actually to give services and pay salaries to all the government employees.
So let's imagine if we're a minister in Fatah now, in the Palestinian Authority. On the one side, you've got they're going to pull our funding from the EU because of American pressure. On the other, you've got status, but you might in that time lose your job and all the money that you've got to maintain whatever body politic you're maintaining.
So here I blame the Arab countries, especially the rich Gulf countries, because actually what the EU and the Americans are paying the Palestinian Authority is peanuts. Really nothing. It's just to pay the salaries of the police force which are protecting America and Israeli behind them. So if the Gulf-rich countries pay the salaries of the Palestinian employees, they will solve the problem.
Okay.
And they will not be blackmailed by such a statement.
I'm so glad to end an interview with a solution. I hope the right people are watching. We have a solution. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Each week, we bring you a selection of resistance poetry. Today's is presented by Shabir Razvi.
Quintessential order and divine symbol. To those who may not understand, the Supreme Creator has given meaning. It is an emblem of all that was, is, and will be, a place of remembrance. The message of the Almighty, all messengers of God have been here, yet it is only His last messenger from here taken on a heavenly journey. Occupation of the Quds is not new. Other feral forces have tried. Oppressors are deluded and may feel comfort. The graveyard of history is littered. Be they crusaders or any other guise, Zionism will not triumph in your bosom. This creed is on the wrong side of history. Promise of the Creator is for justice. Justice will be victorious. Zionism, your days are numbered. The Almighty made Quds a precinct of quintessential order and a divine symbol. Cheerleaders of Zionism have given it license. They allow prison walls to be built. And the plan is to change the ground reality with brute force and deception. Alas, the Almighty in the Holy Quran declares, the unbelievers plotted and planned, and Allah too planned, and the best of the planners is Allah. The Almighty bestowed nobility on the month of Ramadan with deliverance of His last message, the Holy Quran, and Imam Khomeini gave new meaning to the holy month, designating the last Friday of Ramadan, Quds Day, the day for the oppressed. The dispossessed can now taunt all oppressors into submission.
That's all we have time for in this week's Remember Palestine. See you next time for more from the front line of the new Middle East. Assalamu alaikum.